dispatch box. And the house on both sides is rising for him. That is a very, very rare event in the Oxford Union. I'm not sure in the 25 years since I was president I've ever seen that happen here in this historic hall before.
Honourable members of the Union, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, if I could greet straight away, because I understand there is a direct feed to the White House tonight, if I could greet the President of the United States, who is, of course, at the very genesis of the proposition we're debating tonight. A quote in Time magazine last year, an assertion by the President of the United States that nuclear weapons were immoral. His avowal reiterated in January this year in the statement over the space initiative known as SDI. And there again, he asserted that this system of the nuclear stare cannot be sustained morally. I also feel a considerable sympathy for the members of the opposite side who have this extraordinary sense of destabilization at the imminent prospect of peace breaking out. The character of the argument, sir, is something which I find regrettable. If I could say very simply that it is my conviction that there is no moral case for nuclear weapons, but the best defense which can be made of their existence and the threat of their use is, as we have heard tonight, that they are a necessary evil, an abhorrent means to a desirable end. I hold that the character of nuclear weapons is such that their very existence corrupts the best of intention, that the means, in fact, perverts the end. I hold that their character is such that they have brought us to the greatest of all perversions, the belief that this evil is necessary, as it has been stated tonight, when in fact it is not. And I make my case against nuclear weapons the more vigorously because I distinguish between them and all other forms of coercive or deterrent power. I've got no case to make against the policeman's truncheon. And the people tonight who have argued that you must go to the ultimate in force every time you seek to embark upon it is, of course, a surrender to the worst immorality. I accept and do not wish to be heard arguing here against any proposition that the state must arm itself with military force to protect its citizens against aggression or defend the weak and the helpless against aggression. But I do not accept that the state must, for those reasons, arm itself with nuclear weapons. That is a case I do not easily or lightly make in Europe. In Europe, it is impossible to be unaware of the intensity of military preparedness. In New Zealand, the visitor must make an effort to find a military installation, or indeed any sign of military activity, although it does exist. There is no imperative in New Zealand to prepare for war. The result is that I feel safer in Wellington than I ever could in London or New York or Oxford. The fact is that Europe and the United States are ringed about with nuclear weapons, and your people have never been more at risk. There is simply only one thing more terrifying than nuclear weapons pointed in your direction, and that is nuclear weapons pointed in your enemy's direction. The outcome of their use would be the same in either case, and that is the annihilation of you and all of us. And that is a defense which is no defense. Is it a defense which disturbs far more than it reassures? And it is totally without reason, logic, any sense at all to have the means at the disposal of two particular sets of parts to turn this world into rubble time and time again. We in New Zealand, you know, used to be able to relax a bit, to be able to think that we would sit comfortably while the rest of the world, see its sins with it, were enraptured. And the fact is that we used to have this vision of our being some kind of an antipodean Noah's Ark, which would, from within it, quite isolated and preserved, spawn a whole new world of realistic humankind. Now, the fact is that we know that that is not achievable. We know that if the nuclear winter comes, we freeze, we join the rest of you. And there's no humanity at all in the logic which holds that my country, New Zealand, must be obliged and others in the West are playing host to nuclear weapons. That is the logic which refuses to admit that there is any alternative to nuclear weapons, when plainly there is. Rejecting the logic of nuclear weapons does not mean surrendering to evil. Evil must still be guarded against. Rejecting nuclear weapons is to assert what is human over the evil nature of the weapon. It is to restore to humanity the power of decision. It is to allow a moral force to reign supreme. It stops the macho lurch into mutual madness. And for me, the position of my country is a genuine, long-term affirmation of this proposition that nuclear weapons are morally indefensible, and I support that proposition.
Prime Minister of New Zealand, Mr. David Longby.